How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Figure Four Daily. It's November 8, 2011 here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We are joined today by one half of the main event coming up on Sunday, the first ever Chikara Eye pay-per-view. High Noon is coming up on GoFightLive.tv. Mike Quackenbush is here on the line today. We had Ultra Mantis Black on the show last week, which of course was very interesting, and Mike has to follow that act. And Mr. Quack, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Mr. Alvarez. There is no following Ultra Mantis Black.
Well, that's depressing. I'm sure you'll do a fine job.
I'll do my best.
Now, listen, this Sunday, it is the first ever internet pay-per-view from Chikara, and I think the last time you were on the show, anytime Chikara, someone from Chikara is on the show, I always ask the same question: when are you going to do an eye pay-per-view? I want to be able to watch these eye pay-per-views, and this is going to be the first chance for a lot of people. And would you say that this is probably the most important show in the 10-year history of Chikara?
Yes, that's no idle hyperbole, Mr. Alvarez. I think that is very much the case. This is us on a worldwide stage in a way we've never been presented before. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of nervousness because even now, the iPay-per-view medium is still not perfect. You know, there's always some kind of, whatever it is, a technological gaffe or there's always something along those lines. And we just want to deliver as flawlessly as the medium will permit the true Chikara product to as many viewers worldwide as possible.
What made you decide this was the show as opposed to, for example, King of Trios weekend?
Well, I think this one is very fitting. This is the end of our 10th season. So not only our season finales are always particularly loaded, but with the crowning of the Grand Championship of Chikara at the conclusion of this massive round-robin tournament that we've done called the 12 Large Summit, it just seemed like an obvious choice. You know, it kind of wrote itself in that regard. This was the perfect selection to give this a try. And it's a different event from, like, King of Trios, because King of Trios, in its own way, is four events rolled into one. It's three cards of wrestling plus a fan conclave in the afternoon of one of the days. So, you know, that's kind of, like, all over the place, whereas High Noon is very concise, you know. This is one card. It's, you know, it all falls very neatly on one date. You're going to see a complete story from start to finish with High Noon.
Now, last time we did a show here with Ultra Mantis last week, we actually got some complaints because, or maybe it wasn't that show, it might have been another show, but I want to make sure that we don't have complaints for whatever show it was about not having the entire card run down in detail. So, obviously, the card is important for this upcoming iPay-per-view, so let's go through it from top to bottom. What are the big matches coming up at High Noon this Sunday?
Well, you'll see me, as Mr. Alvarez alluded to, wrestling my student Eddie Kingston for the Grand Championship of Chikara. Each of us finished our round-robin blocks with 8 points, and now we will wrestle off to determine the champion in the main event. Now, there's also, as you may know, the tag team titles at Chikara. They're called Campeonatos de Parejas. You must collect 3 points to challenge for our tag titles. That is to say, you must win 3 tag team matches in a row to become the number one contender. And right now, 2 teams have 2 points. The Young Bucks of Nick and Matt Jackson have 2 points. And one of our most popular tag teams and former champions, Fire Ant and Soldier Ant of the Colony, have 2 points. So one of those teams will leave High Noon with the 3rd point. The other team gets sent back to 0 points. A loss negates any points that you have. That's a really important match. We've also got Gregory Iron, the handicapped hero, who's looking to silence Icarus once and for all, because Icarus, who's now lost to Iron on more than one occasion, has basically come out and said that he thinks Greg Iron is faking having cerebral palsy. I think Icarus basically can't wrap his brain around the fact that he's been beaten by Greg, and Greg's an outstanding guy. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to talk to him on the show, but very passionate, and he's very talented. So everyone's looking forward to seeing Greg Iron one-up Icarus again. That will be at High Noon.
And that's no joke, by the way. Gregory Iron has cerebral palsy.
That's true. It's obvious. I don't mean to be, blunt about it, but he's very forthcoming about it. You know, he likes to tell his story to people, and it's an inspirational story. And he's really something to see. Greg Iron is not just a great inspirational story, but he's just something you've got to see for yourself. We've also got a no disqualification Lucha de Apuesta, that is to say a match with wagers. This tag team match will see the Mask of Ultra Mantis Black and the Mask of Hollow Wicked wagered against the Hair of Tim Dunst and the Eye of Tyr, which is in the possession of Ares. Whoever loses the fall in that match will lose something, whether it's the Mask, the Hair, or the Eye of Tyr. Now, we've also, all year long, there's been something developing between Green Ant and Tersus. Even so much so that Green Ant ended up chartering a bus, driving from Texas to Reading, Pennsylvania, calling it the Flex Express, getting the endorsement of Lex Luger, and taking on, well, in his own way, he's almost like a weird Yokozuna Ludwig Borga amalgam of Tersus, the Finnish super heavyweight. These two will have their final confrontation. That takes place at high noon. We've also got the future of the Osirian portal will be revealed as Amasis, who we've not seen in 6 months, will address everyone in attendance and watching live on iPay-per-view. Sarah Del Rey, formerly of the BDK and quickly becoming one of the most popular stars in Chikara, will face her former stablemate in Jacob Hammermeyer one-on-one on the pay-per-view. We'll also see Colt Cabana returning to Chikara. He's a very popular guest star of ours, rematching from King of Trios 2011 against who I would wager to say will become Brian Alvarez's favorite wrestler of all time, Archibald Peck.
Become? It's already happened.
So you will not want to miss that. Of course, in Archibald Peck's corner is his mascot, Colt Cabana, and his majorette, Veronica, as you would expect. So all of that is contained on the High Noon iPay-per-view, and on our free streaming pre-show, before that even goes live, we're giving it away just to show you what we're all about, a singles match between El Generico and Jigsaw. That's on our Ustream channel. We've got a free 45-minute pre-show starting at 3:15 p.m. on Sunday over there.
Now, I don't want to ruin the magic of Chikara or anything like that. You're welcome to not answer this question if you don't want to, but since you mentioned it in the preview of the show, I just have to ask. So, Green Ant had the Flex Express.
Right.
A bus tour. Now,
yes.
How do you go about talking Lex Luger into doing something like this? You know what I mean? It just seems like, where the hell is Lex Luger right now? You gotta find the guy, you gotta explain to him that Green Ant is doing a bus tour, and Mr. Luger, would you please give this man your endorsement? How do you go about swinging something like this?
Well, to answer your questions quite directly, Lex Luger, he's based out of the greater Atlanta, Georgia area, and he does some consulting work for the WWE, which I didn't know. You know, until very, very recently. I didn't know that he did consulting for them. But he's also really involved, and he has been for a number of years, in evangelical work. You know, he's very passionate about his spirituality, I guess would be the best way to phrase it. And he's not all that involved in wrestling anymore, as you may know. He does, like, autograph sessions or, that escapes me, like conventions, that's what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
You know, where they get together, you know, stars from various eras of wrestling. He might appear at something like that. But he's, you know, he's not as out there as some stars from past generations are. I think the great thing about what we do at Chikara is, generally speaking, it's all, it is to create an appreciation for the art form overall. I think there are some people that maybe see what we do, realize that it's imbued with a type of humor, and they think that maybe we're slagging off this art form of ours, and that's not the case at all. And when you explain what's going on, like to a Lex Luger guy, for example, who, and you might know this too, there was a time when he was somewhat renowned for maybe not having the most pleasant attitude.
Yes.
Or not being the easiest guy to deal with.
Sure.
But if you can approach him from, you know, and you take a tact where you explain to him that what's being done is really done out of a sense of admiration, and it's really being done to, it's like a love letter to something that he's responsible for. He was very welcoming, and he was incredibly gracious, and unfortunately, I don't know how long ago this was. Maybe you can fill the blank in for me, Brian. He suffered a spinal stroke.
Yeah.
Lex Luger. This is maybe like 5 years ago?
Several years ago, yeah. Yeah,
but he doesn't get around as easily as he once did, and I think if travel was easier for him, or even just, you know, getting around in general was easier for him, it wouldn't have been out of the question maybe to have even seen him in Green Ant's corner. That would not have been entirely impossible, because he found the entire thing to be quite charming. And I think if maybe you're not familiar with the entire Chikara aesthetic, you might look at that and say, hey, I think they're ripping something off there. And believe me, like, it's never quite so callous as that. You know, it's always done with, like, a wink and an acknowledging nod because, as I said, it's really intended to be like a love letter to the art form we all enjoy.
I don't think it comes off as a ripoff at all. It's an homage. I'm just, you know, when Luger had his problems, I think that's when the big turnaround came as far as, you know, he had a, I guess his life kind of changed. Obviously, it changed physically, but I think a lot of things changed with him as well, and he became, like you said, a lot more gracious and such. And, you know, I could see a man seeing that as an homage. I just kind of, it's kind of funny, you know? It's like, it's not just the Luger thing, but many times you guys have, I mean, I can't think of specific examples here, but every now and then I'll see it and it's just like, how did they swing that? You know? And that's a good example of that right there, but more power to you.
Well, thanks. And I think hopefully we'll always continue to kind of regard the people that we see as legendary characters in the grand scheme of the world of wrestling. As long as we regard them with the right level of respect and admiration, they're always really willing to come play with us. The 1-2-3 Kid is a great example mm-hmm. from earlier this year. And, you know, more recently, Lex Luger. And sometimes you do see these things, which it's kind of crazy to imagine these things taking place in the U.S., whether it's seeing British legends like Johnny Saint and Johnny Kidd, who came and visited us in the summer, or like some of the people who are about to come see us at Joshi Mania, like Aja Kong. I think it all really just has to do with how you present yourself and the way that you regard the people that you want to collaborate with, and you can find success because there's nobody out there. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are rare occasions when you would come across someone who just says, you know, I just don't want to play the game anymore. Please don't bother me.
Sure.
You know, you'd be amazed how many of those people that are out there are really appreciative when they do get that call because there are so many of them, I think, that feel like maybe the wrestling world has forgotten them or maybe wrestling audiences have moved on and they're irrelevant, and, you know, it puts a smile on their face to know that there are people out there that remember and appreciate what they did.
I just remember the Waltman one was another one, because not only did he agree to come in, but he agreed to come in as the 1-2-3 Kid, and I think he cut his hair or something, and he had all of his old gear, and, you know, I don't know, maybe he remembers the 1-2-3 Kid era as a golden era of his career, but I kind of had the impression that he didn't, but he was willing to bust it out and come back for King of Trios, I believe, so there you go.
Yeah, we've been really fortunate.
Now, I'm just saying this because you're on the show. This is true, and there are people on our board who can confirm this because they were the ones asking and making the statement, but every now and then Raw will be on or a pay-per-view, and it'll just suck, and I'll have just watched the show, and I'm pissed off. And I come on here to do the radio show, and I'll just start off with, wrestling sucks! And, of course, I'll immediately be deluged with emails from people going, wrestling doesn't suck, there's a lot of great wrestling out there. And the last time I really went on a rant about wrestling, and it was after one of the worst Raws of all time, a bunch of people sent in the emails as usual, and the one promotion that was mentioned more than any other promotion as a promotion that people should watch if they think wrestling sucks was Chikara. They said, if you think wrestling is no fun, you think wrestling sucks, you should watch Chikara. And obviously, when I say wrestling sucks, I'm not talking about everything. I just was angry. But the point is, they kept bringing up Chikara. So, for those that have never seen it before, Mike, you'd be a fine person to ask, what is it about Chikara that is different from every other wrestling promotion, probably in the world?
Well, I think one thing you've got to understand about us, everybody at Chikara, is that we firmly believe that wrestling should be fun, first and foremost. And you'll see that come out in our characters. You see it come out in our storytelling, in our overall presentation, in the way we regard our fans, in the way we relate and interact with them. We firmly believe that wrestling has to be fun first. And we also think, and we really truly believe in a genuine way, that wrestling should never insult your intelligence. That was something that really, when I started to no longer care for mainstream wrestling, I felt it started to disengage from me because I felt like my intelligence was constantly insulted. And I want you to know that Everybody at Chikara works very, very hard to make sure that that is not your experience. You'll never be embarrassed to sit and watch what we do with your children. You'd never be embarrassed to sit and watch us with your parents. Wrestling should never insult your intelligence. And it's kind of this old-school thing, which I think is obsolete and it doesn't belong in our business anymore, is this idea that somehow, like, the wrestlers and the wrestling promoters and the people behind the scene are having, like, a big laugh at the expense of the fans. And at Chikara, you're always laughing with us. The best jokes are the ones that the fans are in with us. We all want to have a good time together because at some point in time, myself, every member of the Chikara roster, every person that works backstage, every one of my trainees that staffs the events, everybody relating to us was passionate about the professional wrestling business of a particular era, of a particular company, whatever you want to say. And we bring that passion to our craft. We give it a tweak. We add our own unique sense of humor. We infuse it with storytelling elements that you're not going to see from other companies out there. And we're going to serve it up to you in the most family-friendly way that doesn't insult your intelligence. And we want you to... It's an all-encompassing experience. The thing I love to hear most from Chikara fans is when they say how addictive it is. And whether that's because we're pushing out new web content via Twitter, Facebook, our website, YouTube, every single day, that we just become part of people's daily web culture, or it's because they found something new that they can experience and appreciate, whether it's with their kids, with their friends, with their peer group, and they don't feel stupid for saying it, right? There's nothing worse as a wrestling fan, and we all went through this, where, you know, someone caught you reading one of the After mags back in the day, or, you know, you were having a pay-per-view party at your house, and you felt stupid. Someone tried to make you feel stupid for being a wrestling fan. And if we can take all of that away, if we can make wrestling fun again for fans, that's what Chikara is all about. And when I get emails from fans or I hear anecdotes from people that say that, I know we're succeeding.
I don't know if I've ever even gotten a report from a show where somebody expressed a feeling of not having fun at a Chikara show. With maybe, ironically, the exception of the one show that I appeared on for you when I wrestled Larry Sweeney, and we all thought that Lince Dorado killed himself in the main event.
Right.
And that was just a freak accident. It was nothing you guys did. It was a freak accident.
Right. Yeah, that was a horrifying, you know, I think when we look back on some of the scariest, darkest moments, that's right up on top of that list.
And he ended up fine, for those of you that had never heard that story before. But it was certainly scary.
Yes.
Now we got, and by the way, on the subject of fun, Chikara is in fact the only promotion in the world that has a director of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who is the current director of fun? Wink?
Well, yes. Wink Vavasseur is the current director of fun. And if you're interested, he is directing these two particularly interesting promotions that are going on right now. One of which is, you may have heard, as I think someone on this program was kind enough to post it on your site for us, wink, wink, we are, for one lucky fan, going to give them tickets to every live event for the rest of their life. And this is only running for a handful of days. I think you've got maybe 5 or 6 more days to get in on this. It's information about it's over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/Chikarmy. I also happen to see it on the front page of the Wrestling Observer site. Thank you very much. If you want to get in on that, doesn't matter where in the world you are, of course, getting to us from certain parts of the world might prove rather costly, but nevertheless, we want to give one lucky fan Chikara tickets for the rest of their life. So that's one thing we've got going on this week.
Now, before you move on from that one. Now, when you do win the tickets for the rest of your life, they're just tickets into the event. You're not going to fly them from Siberia, for example.
Exactly.
We'll get
you in for free.
But they will get kind of a special role, is that correct?
What's that?
Will they get sort of a special role as the fan who gets tickets for life?
I don't know that they'll get a special role necessarily. Perhaps we need to concoct one.
I could have sworn in the press release, not like a role like you're going to be a part of the program or anything like that, but you'd always be known as the guy or the gal who got tickets for life.
Right. We would like to believe that somebody like that will ultimately become a great ambassador for what we're trying to accomplish.
That's what I was looking for, the ambassador.
That's right. But I want you to know That does not come with a salary or dental benefits. Chikara ambassador is a really low-rung position in the infrastructure.
So wear a mouthpiece.
Yeah. You're like under the fourth referee, but we'd love to have you.
The fourth referee, the one who is billed as not the senior official?
That's the one.
Poor Derek. All right, the other contest.
Yeah, we have another one. We're giving away 10 free viewings of this weekend's High Noon Eye pay-per-view. And now some of them have already been given away. We're giving one away a day up until Friday. So if you're interested to know more about that, you'll see tweets going constantly from our Twitter account about that. But for more information on that, I believe onecontest.com/highnoon, and it's worthy of note, contest in that web address is spelled with a K. All you got to do is send the tweet out that's there, and you are automatically entered. We're picking one person a day to give them a free viewing, because we really, more than ever before, we need everybody to take a look at what we're doing. This is really going to be something very, very special for us this Sunday at High Noon on GFL.TV. And we need the attention of the wrestling world as best as we can commandeer it for those couple of hours.
Let's do a few of the questions here from the readers. This person wants your perspective on this year's King of Trios events.
I think this past year was probably the most successful all around, like just in terms of, you know, all the measurable ways, in terms of like the emotional quotient of it. I think the reason we felt that way, and I might have even remarked this once before to you, Brian, that going into that weekend, because that was just days, unfortunately, after we had lost our brother-in-arms, Larry Sweeney, there was such an awful dark cloud hanging over us. And through the course of those 3 days, it really turned into this like emotional triumph for us. Like as much as wrestling can ever be that for somebody, it was that not just for us, the entire crew, but I think it was for the fans too. We experienced this crazy like 72-hour catharsis, and it will always, you know, it holds like a special place in my heart. Even so, like a couple of the things that were left for us, like as gifts from some of our guests, are right here in my office. A handwritten note, actually, from Sean Waltman, the 123 Kid, hangs right over my desk here, because it was just an incredibly special moment. And I know a lot of people discovered us really because of that event.
Now, the King of Trios. We got a question here. What was your favorite non-King of Trios show of the year?
My favorite non-King of Trios show? That's a very good question.
Someone has to look through the DVD list, and they think, I'm going to get one DVD that's not King of Trios. Which one should they check out?
Well, I was lucky enough to observe our entire Chicago debut that took place back in June, and there was like an electricity in the room that I absolutely loved. You know, I got to call the action from above basically the entire night. But I would have to say, like, in terms of just crazy diversity, our July event from Philadelphia, Chikarasaurus Rex, which featured everyone from Johnny Saint to Atlantis. We had the girls of Ice Ribbon, we had Mima Shimoda, and the whole cast and crew of Chikara. It was this wacky, cosmopolitan blend of wrestling styles from around the world. And that's a really enjoyable one, too. That might be my favorite.
Now, we should add, when talking about Larry Sweeney, that the 12 Large Tournament is, in fact, named after him.
That's true, yeah, and we called it the 12 Large Summit just to get his initials in there, too, the LS. 12 Large, of course, was the 12 Large Brother Elbow Drop, as he used to call it. So it was done entirely in tribute to him. And in a way, you know, the significance of that, the symbolism of the 12, I mean, it carries over into High Noon, you know, the idea of 12 there. And it really tied in nicely because, as you probably noticed back at King of Trios, all of our shows this year have kind of had, like, the influence of some of our favorite 80s cartoons as well, like Transformers over top of King of Trios and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it all kind of culminated beautifully thematically and everything else with this High Noon. Even to an extent, some of the detail work in this yet-to-be-unveiled championship belt of ours, which the world will see on Sunday, are kind of little bits of inspiration that go back to Larry there.
This has nothing to do with anything, but since you mentioned it, what did you think of the Transformers movies, having been a fan of the cartoon as a child?
I was a huge fan of that, and a huge fan of the movie from 86 as well. In fact, it was my fandom of that that actually led to me having Stan Bush on my podcast, The Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, and things kind of, he actually, Stan recorded the theme for High Noon for us. I'm just a huge fan of that version of the Transformers, and not at all a fan of the new version of the Transformers.
How about that? You know, when Vinny and I did the Brian versus Vinny battle, we chose, I think, the Transformers theme as Vinny's ring music, which, of course, fit perfectly. But we could not get a hold of Stan Bush to see if he'd let us use that music on our DVD, and we were very sad. But I'm glad you got a hold of him. That's very good. This person says, which younger Chikara guys do you expect to break out big next year?
Well, that's a very good question. I think people are just starting to see the full potential of a group called the Batiri. They've sort of, they kind of, you know, they lurk in the shadows. They're not always out there in the spotlight, Obarian, Kodama, and Cobalt. But you can tell they have an incredible work ethic, and they improve every single time that you see them. Although, to be fair, like, I really do feel that way about a lot of the guys up and coming at Chikara. Like, every time out, I see them improve, and I take a great deal of pride in watching their evolution as performers.
A couple more very quickly. Some of these are good questions. How often would you ideally run iPay-per-views? Is this every 3 months, every 6 months, just the biggest shows, or what are the plans? Presuming this one does very well.
Right. Well, I can tell you, I don't think there are any plans past High Noon. I think it's very much dependent on that. But, you know, as we talked previously about the idea of the era in which we may have fallen in love with the pro wrestling performance genre, for me personally, it was when there were really four marquee pay-per-views on the calendar. You knew when the Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series were coming around. And, you know, the year sort of took shape around them, and they maintained their special appeal before the oversaturation of the in-your-houses that led to the monthlies and the blah, blah, blah. And God help us when there were weekly Wednesday pay-per-views we were supposed to care about from a certain company. You know, that to me, that type of oversaturation, it just kills interest. When everything is supposed to be special, then nothing is special. Mm-hmm. And I think to avoid falling into that trap or, you know, whatever that might be, just like the manifest destiny of capitalism or, you know, whatever you might think that is, I think we want to avoid that as much as humanly possible, Brian.
What do you think is the most underappreciated wrestling gimmick of all time?
Wow. That's a...
Is there a guy, like, maybe you were, like, a huge fan of T.L. Hopper, and you just went, God, I cannot believe this guy never made it big in that gimmick.
Oh, my God, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'll be the most outspoken advocate for Max Moon ever. I absolutely love that Max Moon character. I mean, there were a bunch in that era, and I realized this was a recent poll on the Wrestling Observer website, Brian, where they were asking, what was the best era of wrestling? And the best era of wrestling, Brian, wasn't one of the answers. The best era of wrestling was like 1992 to 1994 WWF stuff, because that's where Max Moon was. He is like, you know what I mean? Like, did you watch Lost? He's sort of like the constant. You have to get back to him. He's Desmond's constant. He's the Penelope and everything. Get to Max Moon somehow. And, you know, Max Moon, who was portrayed by more than one person, but for the vast majority of the time was Paul Diamond under the mask. And I only found that out after bribing several people in the know. That costume is still out there somewhere.
Oh, boy.
It's out there in the universe. He betrothed it to someone who does it now in his place. And I can think, somewhere it's still, that's like the holy grail of wrestling. Where is it? Where is Max Moon's suit? Where's that jetpack?
You know, there are a lot of people in your age bracket that are big fans of the jetpack. I think it dates back to Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah. Boba Fett. Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. Yeah, something about the jetpack. Well, listen, I know you're running short on time. We've got a lot of questions here. Maybe in the next couple of weeks we can do a follow-up show and talk the fallout from this weekend's High Noon event. But before
that's
you go...
very ominous, Brian, the fallout?
Well, yeah, I don't mean like nuclear fallout, but just it's a common, common term. Follow-up. How about the follow-up? How about the victory celebrations?
Right. Well, I like that.
Fallout, I mean, you're either, I mean, let's be frank about this. You're either leaving the show as the grand champion or you're not. So either way, there's going to be plenty to talk about here.
Agreed. You are correct, Mr. Alvarez.
Now, before you go, let's talk about the iTunes album and give you one last chance to plug the big pay-per-view, the iPay-per-view, GoFightLive.tv, which is taking place this Sunday. Go for it.
You're correct, sir. Yeah, we just released an entrance theme and original song album into iTunes for digital download, which is now the number one music retailer in the world. So you can download the new Chikara Themes album, get all 14 songs there for just $9.99 in iTunes, but it's also in the Zune Marketplace. You can get it from Amazon MP3, MediaNet eMusic, Rhapsody, blah, blah, blah. Most places where digital downloadable music is available, you can get the brand new Chikara entrance theme album, which includes the High Noon theme for our iPay-per-view that I mentioned, featuring Stan Bush. You've got the touch from Transformers. Yeah, that guy. He sang it for us. We've also got a new mobile app that's coming out maybe as soon as this weekend from our friends over at Axiva. That will be in the iTunes store for iOS devices in less than 7 days. So check out that new Chikara mobile app. And then, of course, as Brian was kind enough to mention, this weekend we've got two big events. Eastern Pennsylvania, we've got the 8th annual Torneo Cibernetico, which has gotten overshadowed a little bit by the immensity of our debut on iPay-per-view. That's available from our friends over at Go Fight Live, which is GFL.tv. You can buy it right now, and we've got the 45-minute streaming pre-show. So if you're on the fence and you need a little free sample, hey, the first one's free, kids. The first one's on us. Check it out over at our Ustream channel. Everything you could ever want to know about Chikara is at ChikaraPro.com. Please check out all our free videos on YouTube and subscribe to us on Twitter and blah, blah, blah. And thank you, Brian, for giving me the chance to come on here and talk a little bit about everything that's going on with us, because this is really it. This is the Season 10 finale for us. It's a really busy week. It's a busy time, and it's a great time to be a Chikara fan. If you've never checked us out before, I implore you, give us a chance this weekend. We'll make a fan out of you.
November 13th, 2011, the Asylum Arena, 7 West Rittner Street in South Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the former ECW Arena. Bell time, 4 p.m., doors open at 3 if you're going live. The pre-show begins at 3:15. There is a free match on the pre-show. And, of course, all the matches on the program, including Eddie Kingston versus Mike Quackenbush. Mike Quackenbush, that you're listening to right now, is fighting for the Grand Championship of Chikara. It's coming up this Sunday. Do not miss that show. GoFightLive.tv. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, Mike, thanks again for doing the show today. And, again, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, maybe we'll do another one and answer some more questions and talk about how things went here at the biggest show in the history of Chikara.
Thank you, Brian.
And of course, thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk to you again later on tonight.